Well, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Open to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter number 10. We're continuing our series through the seven I Ams in the book of John. And we're in John, chapter number 10. We've looked at Jesus when he said, I am the bread of life. And then he said, I am the light of the world. Last week, we looked in where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Of course, last week, dealing with Easter and the resurrection. This morning, we're in John chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we do ask that you would just bless now in the preaching of your word. Use it to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just draw us closer to you. And Lord, we would just look to you in this passage and give us that understanding that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're looking at verse number 7 and verse number 9, two times here where Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. Now, in chapter number 10, there are two times or two different I ams that we find here in verse number 7 and verse number 9. Jesus says, I am the door. And then a little bit later in the passage, Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. Although there is a little bit of a blending of these passages together this morning, I'm really going to be trying to stay with Jesus saying, I am the door. And then next week, my dad, Brother Brian Stensis, will be preaching on I am the good shepherd. But both of them are in this passage and both dealing with kind of this issue of sheep and a sheepfold and the shepherd. And so there will be a little bit of a blending of these two. But in order to be able to understand what Jesus is speaking about here, because again, obviously Jesus, beginning in chapter 10, he just kind of goes into explaining this idea of a sheepfold and talking about sheep and the shepherd and things like this. But what is it that brought about this passage? What is it that Jesus is trying to teach, and why all of a sudden is he now using this illustration of sheep and a sheepfold and a shepherd? To really understand the passage and why Jesus says what he's saying here in chapter 10, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of chapter number 9. In chapter number 9, we won't read the whole passage here, 41 verses, but just as we begin in chapter 9, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So think about it. They're walking on the road here, and Jesus is with the disciples. There is a blind man on the side of the road. And in those days, there was not jobs that they could do, and so they would sit and they would beg for money. And so there's a blind man sitting on the side of the road, and as they're walking by, the disciples point him out. The disciples point out this blind man, and I don't know if they were trying to be, you know, spiritual or what, but they said, Lord, why is this man blind? And they give two reasons, right? Their two reasons are, is it the fault of his parents? Did his parents sin, and that's why he's born blind? Or is it his own fault that he sinned, and that's why he's born blind? Now, we could kind of maybe understand the idea of the parents sinning and, you know, for some reason, God is judging the parents and making his son be born blind, right? Not really a good reason, but I guess we could understand that. But the second one really puzzles me, right? Because how could he have sinned if he was born blind? I mean, that's what they said, right? Who sinned so that he was born blind? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? Now, again, we could kind of grasp the idea of the parents' sin, but how could he have sinned if he was born blind? I mean, he was born blind, so he had no sin, so why would they say that he has sin, and so that's why he was born blind? Well, again, understanding some of the common culture of the day is they would think that if somebody was like this man, born blind, that the reason why God would allow him to be born blind is because to keep him from committing some heinous or horrible sin down the road. And so God allowed him to be born blind, so to keep him from that sin. Yeah, I know, you're like, what? That's what they were expecting. That's what they were thinking, right? I mean, even later on, the Pharisees even tell him, look, to this blind man, you were born in sin, right? It's because of sin the reason why you were born blind. And it never even crosses the disciples' mind. It never even crosses the Pharisees' mind. And I want to maybe take a leap of faith here and say it never crossed the parents' mind. And it never crossed the blind man's mind that the reason he was born blind was for the glory of God. You say, how could somebody be born blind for the glory of God? Well, that's exactly what Jesus says. Look in verse number 3. Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus says the whole reason for this man being born blind, even though he may not have understood it, his parents didn't understand it, the disciples didn't understand it, the Pharisees didn't understand it, God knew the reason why that he had allowed this man to be born blind was because one day God was going to do something amazing in his life. Something that would be a miracle that nobody else could do. And so many times we think just because something bad happens to us, well, that bad is because it's bad, right? Bad is because somebody did bad or there is sin or whatever. Do you know that the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? There are times when God can allow something that we might think is bad in our life for the very purpose of glorifying God through it. And this is what has happened here. Jesus says, it's not this man's sin. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus spits on the ground, mixes a little bit of mud, puts it on the blind man's eyes. Now again, let's step back. Did the blind man ask for any of this? Did he ask to be called out by the disciples? No. Did he ask Jesus to come and do any of this? No. He didn't ask for any of it. But Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud, puts it on his eyes, can't see still. He says, I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He's a blind man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Wouldn't it have been easier just for Jesus to say, be healed? But he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the blind man, whether he knew the city well enough to know where the pool of Siloam was, or, which was most of the time, they would have a young person with them, a young boy or somebody like that, that would help them get around because they were blind. So he makes his way to the pool of Siloam. He gets down, he gets some water, washes off the mud, and he opens his eyes and he can see. The first time in his entire life that he's been able to see, and he's healed. I think he was a little excited. I don't think he just walked back to where Jesus was. I think he took off running. He didn't need the little boy's help to guide him. No, he's like, I need to get back there and find him. So he goes back to where he was. Again, this is all in chapter 9. We just don't have time to read through it all. He goes back to where he was. Jesus isn't there. But everybody else that knew him is there. And so they ask him, man, wait a minute. Like 10 minutes ago, weren't you blind? Yeah. I was blind 10 minutes ago. I was blind. Man, oh, that's what you like. You look like that? Maybe I better be blind. Never mind. I mean. Now he's like, man, I can see now, and it's amazing. And so they're like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. There were just some people walking by, and all of a sudden they started talking about me, and I hear this guy go, and he spits in the ground, and all of a sudden he puts this muddy junk on my eyes, and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and I can see. That's a miracle. Well, word started getting around. The Pharisees, you know, the very spiritual, religious people, they came. They said, hey, what happened here? What's going on? And so he tells them. He says, man, a minute ago I was blind, and this guy comes by, and he puts some mud on my eyes, and I go to the wash in the pool of Siloam and come back, and now I can see. And they're like, he did what? Are you telling me that he worked on the Sabbath? Did they care at all that the man had been blind and now he could see? No. They didn't care at all about that. Instead of being happy for the man, they get upset and say that the man who has healed him could not be of God. This man could not be of God. Why? Because he broke the Sabbath in making mud. Yeah, that's what they said. They tried to make it look like Jesus broke the Sabbath by spitting on the ground and making some mud and putting it on the blind man's eyes. He cannot be of God because he broke the Sabbath. They're not concerned about whether this man is able to see or not. They're not concerned about what has happened to him. Not at all. So others who are around, they said, well, no, this man has to be of God. I mean, how can somebody do a miracle like this and not really be of God? So they go back to the blind man and ask him what he thinks. Well, what do you think about this guy? He says, well, I think he's a prophet. And the Pharisee, well, what do you know? Well, you asked. I just told you, right? You asked. I told you. I think he's a prophet. Well, you don't know anything. Are you sure that this man really healed you? Let's call his parents. Let's find out if he was really blind. I bet that's a trick. So they call his parents. They call his parents. Is this your son? Yeah, it's my son. Was he really born blind? Yeah, he was really born blind. Well, how do you explain that he can see now? I don't know. Well, come on, you've got to have some explanation. The parents were so afraid of the Pharisees that they said, ask our son. He's of age. He's old enough. He's a grown man. Ask him. Because they were afraid of what the Pharisees were going to do to them. So they ask him again. But only this time they don't ask him what happened to them. This time they ask him a different question. Notice what they ask in verse 24 of chapter 9. In verse 24, they said, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. You know what they wanted for this man to say? They didn't care that he was blind and now he could see. All they wanted for this man was to say that the man who healed me must be a sinner. That's all they wanted. Why? Because they were afraid of people following Jesus. Isn't that sad? They were afraid of people following Jesus. Come on, tell us he's a sinner. And this is what he says. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know. Once I was blind, and now I see. I don't know if he's a sinner. I didn't see him. I've never even seen this man before. Still hasn't seen this man. Still never saw Jesus because he had to go to the pool of Siloam and wash before he could see. When he came back, Jesus was gone. He said, I wouldn't know this guy if he walked up and stood right in front of me. I would not know him because I never saw him. But what I do know is that this man healed me. He healed me. And again, they ask him, so what did he do? How many times does he have to tell them? I mean, he's already told them like four times what happened. They say, well, tell us what he did. And so this time the guy's like, look, even if I told you again, you're not going to believe me. You're not going to believe me. What, are you going to become his disciples? They say, whoa, wait a second. No. We're not his disciples. We're disciples of Moses. It's funny, they didn't want to go back and read what Moses said. They said, we're disciples of Moses. You can be his disciple. You can be this guy's disciple. And then this blind man begins to preach to them. He begins to tell him, look, this guy has to be of God because nobody that is not of God could do this. And he begins to preach to them. And of course, that really makes the Pharisees mad. So what do they do? Notice what happens in verse number 34. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Again, here's a man that's been born blind, sitting on the side of the road. He's never had any type of education. You have these religious leaders who have had all the education they can ever think of. And this blind man is trying to tell them that Jesus is the one that healed him. He's trying to tell them, look, he must be of God. And they said, we don't want to hear what you have to say. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. We don't want to listen to you. In fact, not only do we not want to listen to you, you are not allowed here anymore. Say, what? Yeah, look at the end of verse 34. And they cast him out. Cast him out what? Of the synagogue. The synagogue was a place in the town. It was very important to the Jews. The synagogue was a place where community was. It was a place where worship was done. They would come and the religious leaders and those would even be taught. They would teach people the word of God. So the synagogue was a very important place. And to be cast out and say, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. You're basically saying, you're not part of our community. You're not welcome here anymore. We don't want to have anything to do with you. You are out. This is what the parents were afraid that they would do to them. And now because of his testimony, because of this man's testimony, this is what has happened to him. They said, you're out. You're no longer part of us. But notice verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him. Man, that's a great verse. Jesus hears that this man has tried to take a stand for Jesus, even though he's never really met Jesus face to face and being able to see him. He's just trying to testify about what happened in his life. And Jesus hears that this man has been cast out. And I love it. He, Jesus, went and found him. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus didn't wait for the guy to come and find him. No, no, no. Jesus says, I'm going to go find you. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost? Jesus didn't wait for you to have to come to him and try to find him. Jesus said, I'm going to come and find you. I'm going to come find you. And that's why he came to this earth, so he could find us, so that he could give his life a ransom for us. He went and found him, and he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Isn't that great? He says, hey, I want you to know, all the years that you've missed seeing, not a big deal, because you get to lay eyes on the Son of God. You imagine that? All those years that he was without sight, and the very day that he was able to see, he got to lay eyes on the Son of God. I'd say that was a special day. And he said, Lord, I believe. I believe. What was sad in Israel was that, and even Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus looked upon Israel, he had compassion on them, he says, because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus often uses this illustration of sheep. And in the casting out of this blind man of the synagogue, simply because of trying to have a testimony for Christ, trying to tell people what Jesus did in his life, he put these religious leaders to shame, and they wouldn't have it, so they used their power, and they cast him out. And Jesus is going to show us a couple things here in this passage, that the way into the fold is not through, it's not through religious system, it's not through religion, it's not through religious people, it's not by being religious, but the way into the fold is through Jesus Christ. You say, what is a fold? Well, let me give you a picture to kind of illustrate what we have here. This is what we would look, something similar to this would be what we would call a sheepfold, right? And out, as the shepherds would take their sheep out in the wilderness, they would have places where they could bring them back at night so they weren't left out in the wilderness. And so they would bring them back, and it was usually walled, maybe with rocks or something, or they would use thorns and briars and things and even put them on top so that animals would have a difficult time jumping over. But they would lead them in, and they would be able to sleep in here at night. And you notice there is only one door. There's only one door. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But as we go through this passage here, I want you to keep this visual in your mind of this sheepfold, of the rock walls that are there, the one door, and the sheep being inside of this, because Jesus is going to use this illustration to teach us something, right? I want you to notice this. Notice as Jesus begins to explain this, and they didn't understand, right? In verse number 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They didn't understand it. So Jesus begins to explain the parable, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So when Jesus claims to be the door, what is he saying? What is he offering as the door? Well, we're going to look at four very simple things this morning. First of all, as Jesus being the door, he offers salvation. He offers salvation. Again, did you notice on that picture there's only one door? There is not a door for religion. There is not a door for baptism. There is not a door for the Ten Commandments. There is not a door for church. There is not a door for all these different things that many times religion says, hey, if you just do this, you'll be able to get into the fold. No. You see, there is only one door, and Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. There's no other way into the sheepfold. In fact, he says, if you try to go over the walls, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. So if anybody's trying to get into the fold, if they're trying to get to God other than Jesus Christ, God says, you're a thief and a robber. You're not of God. Now think about it. Here you had, again, this man trying to testify what Christ has done. And he said, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. But yet here were the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, and yet they were trying to keep people from the door. They were trying to keep people from Jesus Christ and believing in him. You see, there's only one way into the fold, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us that Jesus came. And as we just celebrated last week, the Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why did Jesus have to come and die on the cross? Why would he be buried? Why would he have to rise again? Because there is only one door. There's not two doors or three doors or four doors. There's one door, and Jesus said, I am the door. You say, well, I really think that my baptism, or I really think that my church membership, or I really think being a good person, that's going to help me get to heaven. And friend, you're like the Pharisees then. You're trying to get in another way that's not through the door. You're trying to climb over the walls. And Jesus said, that's how thieves and robbers try to get in. They're up to no good. The only true way into the fold is through the door, and Jesus says, I am the door. And here's the wonderful thing. Once we are in, once we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he is the only way of salvation, once we are in, you can rest. There is rest inside that fold. There is rest there. We can rest at ease knowing that a thief and a robber cannot get in. You think about that? As the sheep are in the fold, the thief and robber, the only way, because of how the walls are and the thorns and things, that they're going to have to go through the door. And Jesus says, you know what? I am the door. They can't get in. That no thief, no robber, they're not going to be able to come in. And I know many times people say, well, you can lose your salvation or somehow it can be taken from you. Wrong. Jesus said, I am the door. There's no other way in. And so we can rest at ease knowing thieves and robbers cannot get in. But also, may I say, once we are in, we can rest at ease knowing that no matter what animal is prowling around the outside, we are safe within. You know, the world hates those that are inside the fold. The devil hates those that are inside the fold. And they want to do anything they can, and they'll prowl around. The Bible tells us that our enemy is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Man, they prowl around the outside. They know there's sheep inside the fold. But you know what? Jesus says, you can rest. You can rest at ease because I'm the door. And they can just prowl around on the outside, but they're not getting through here. They're not getting through me. You can rest. You see, in order to get to you and I, they would have to go through the door. And Jesus says, they're not getting in. He says, notice what he says in verse number 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If we go through the door of Jesus Christ, then God says we can have salvation. We can have eternal life that will never perish. We can have that gift, and because he offers salvation through Christ. But notice, secondly here, not only does Jesus offer salvation being the door, but he also offers protection. He offers protection. Notice what he says in verse number 9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out. Notice that, in and out. In and out. In and out. There will be times when the shepherd has to lead you out. And sometimes we may not understand why the shepherd is leading us out. What we fail to realize is so often we want to stay inside the fold where that peace and that rest is. We want to stay in there. But the problem is the longer you stay in there, guess what happens? The longer you stay in the fold, as long as those sheep stay in the fold, they start eating all the grass and the grass starts dying. They eat it all. And so what does the shepherd do? He understands this is not a permanent place to remain. This is just a temporary place. And so he leads them out, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but he leads them out to green pasture. He leads them out to water. He leads them out to where they can get nourished. But then what does he do? He always leads them back in. He always leads them back in to rest. He leads them in and out. He provides for them. There's that protection for them. And yes, sometimes the terrain may be difficult. Yes, sometimes the sun may be hot. And we'd be like, hey, it would just be easier to stay in here. The problem is, if we stay in the sheepfold, if we don't trust the shepherd and follow him, do you know what happens if we stay in the sheepfold? We die. We die. In that fold, we'll die. Why? Because there's no more food. And guess what happens? When the shepherd leads the sheep out and they go out to find the green pasture and they go out to find the still water, who's blocking the door? Nobody is. And we set ourselves up for attack. We set ourselves up when we're not following the shepherd and we're not trusting him to say, hey, he is the door. And if he has opened the door and he is leading us out, then I need to follow him. And yes, the terrain may be difficult and I might have some problems and there might be some difficulties, but I know that his way is best. It's not just good, it's best. His way is best for my life, and I have to be willing to trust him because he's going to protect. This is why it's so important to stay close to the shepherd. Why? As the sheep are going out, you don't have the protection of those walls, that sheepfold anymore. And again, we understand whether you're inside the fold or whether you're outside of that fold, we can never lose our salvation. But when we get outside of that fold and we start straying away from the flock and we start straying away from the shepherd, we leave ourselves open to attack. Do you know that sheep. You know they cannot defend themselves? They don't have any mechanism for defense, right? There are two things that a sheep will do if they get frightened. You know what they'll do? Run. They'll run. And they can't run that far, especially when they have a lot of wool. They'll run. But then the other thing they'll do, especially the ewes and things, they'll try to kick. But let's be honest, when you have a sheep that's kicking against claws and sharp teeth of a lion or a wolf or something like that, they're really not much of a match for it. That's why it's so important to stay close to the flock, to stay close to the shepherd, because the shepherd is the one that's going to protect. The shepherd is the one that's going to watch out for us. That's why we find not only is there salvation and protection, but there is also provision. Again, he says, you shall go in and out and find pasture. Find pasture. I think we're all familiar probably with Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? He leadeth me beside still waters. You see, the shepherd is leading. Why? Because he provides. If there's safety within the walls, again, why don't we just stay there? Well, because the sheep need grass. They need water. And if they stay within the walls, there won't be anything left. So the shepherd opens the door and he leads the sheep out to where he knows where grass and water are. What would happen if a sheep says, well, hey, I don't want to follow the shepherd. I think I know where the better grass is, and I think I know where better water is, and they just take off on themselves. It's not going to be good for that sheep. One of the things that you'll find if you ever study a little bit about sheep, or if you've ever had sheep, you'll find, and I don't know of anybody that has had sheep that has not told me this. In fact, somebody just after the morning service, they said, yeah, Pastor, when we were younger, we had sheep, and you're right, they're dumb. His words, not mine, okay? But sheep can be dumb. They don't want to listen. They don't want to pay attention. They're easily spooked. They're easily frightened. And that's why it's so important that we stay close to the shepherd. We stay near him because he's trying to provide for us. The only way that we can truly have the nourishment and the sustenance that we need is to stay near the shepherd. Look, if we're not getting in the Word of God, if we're not walking with God on a daily basis, you say, well, I just want to stay in the sheepfold. I don't want to go out and I don't want to do that. You're going to spiritually die. If you don't stay with the shepherd, and again, I'm not talking about spiritually dying as in you losing your salvation. I'm talking about your spiritual life is going to get less and less and less and less until there is nothing left of it. Yes, you might be saved, but yet there's nothing, God isn't doing anything in your life. And so many Christians, I believe, their lives are just like that. They said, we don't want to leave the sheepfold. We just want to stay here where we think it's comfortable. We want to stay here where we think there's protection instead of following the shepherd, the one who actually knows what is best for us. We just stay. We want to stay here. And we don't trust him. He says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do we understand that the shepherd truly knows what is best for us? He wants to protect us. He wants to provide for us. But the fourth thing that I want to point out, I think, is where so many times we miss this. Do you know that the green pasture and the water that he leads us to are not just for our provision? Oh, yes, we need the green pasture and we need the water to be able to survive, right? We need that provision to be able to live. And that's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. He says, look, you follow me, you trust me, and I'll make sure you're provided. I'll make sure that you're able to have what you need. But the green pasture and the water that he leads us to is not just for provision. Why do they have sheep? Is it just to be able to say, hey, check out the flock I got over here. Look at that. See how that, look at that. That's a pretty cool flock, huh? Yeah. That's my flock. Yep. No, it's you don't have sheep just to be able to say, I got a flock, right? Why do you have sheep? Why did they have sheep? Yes, it was a sign of wealth or prosperity as far as sheep was concerned, but sheep had a purpose. They had a purpose. And here's the thing. Sheep don't always understand their purpose. What was their purpose? Their purpose was to be productive. The purpose of having sheep was that they would be productive. Sheep were very important. Not only they were used in sacrifices, as we find throughout all of Scripture, we find the sacrifices of lambs and rams and animals and things like that, but they were also a way of income. Sheep were good for many things. Sheep were good for wool, to make clothes. From the wool, they would also get what is called lanolin, an oil. They would also get fat from the sheep. They would get milk from the sheep. Sometimes, if needed, they would get meat from a sheep. You see, there was a purpose for the sheep. If the shepherd did not lead the sheep out to green pasture and water, then the sheep would not be productive. Why? Because they would basically stay there and die. And it wasn't just for their health, but it was also that they could be productive. They could produce for the shepherd, as the shepherd would shear the sheep and get the wool to be able to be to make clothes out of, or to get the milk or the fat or the lanolin or whatever it might be. There was a purpose for the sheep. And the sheep could say, well, hey, back off, man. Don't you shear me. Back off. Stay away from my wool. Hey, don't you milk me. Hey, stay away from my lanolin. That's mine. Don't you know that I made that? I mean, it's mine. Isn't that interesting? That sounds a lot like Christians, doesn't it? God, don't you know this is my job? Don't you know this is my money? This is my career? This is mine? God, you just stay away from that. It's mine. Can I ask you, why did God save you? Why did God let you into the fold? Was it just so that you could be saved and so you could say, hey, I'm going to heaven. That's all I care about. Woo! I got my ticket. Here I go. No. It was to be productive for the cause of Christ. And so often, many Christians are not being productive. We're not doing anything for Christ. We're getting all fat with our wool. We're getting all fat with our lanolin. We're getting all fat with the fat. We're getting all fat with the milk. We're getting all fat with everything that we think this is ours. And the shepherd says, I need that. I need to take that from you so you can be a better sheep. Because if the shepherd doesn't take the wool can actually be detrimental to the sheep. If the shepherd doesn't take some of those things, it can actually be detrimental to the sheep. We're like, no, God, you can't have that. No, it's mine. Stay away. God says, I need to take that. Not only for you to be productive, but if I don't take it, it's detrimental even to your spiritual life. Now think about this. Think of what's happened. We're talking about chapter 9. Here's a man that says, Lord, I believe. And because of his belief in God, because of what he chose to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, some religious people kicked him out and said, you're not welcome here anymore. But let me ask you a question. Those that were religious, how productive were they being? Here was a man that had just been healed, and they didn't care one bit about him. Here's a man that was even threatening his parents to say, hey, you better tell your son that he better not say that this guy is the Christ, or we're going to kick you out too. They didn't care one thing about them. They didn't care one thing about this man. All they were concerned about was themselves. And Jesus says, let me tell you something. I'm the door. I'm the door. You want to be able to come to God. You want to know God. You want to have that relationship with God. It's not through religion. It's not through the Pharisees. It's not through the Sadducees. It's not through First Baptist Church. It's not through a baptism. It's through me, he says. I'm the door. But when we come to him, there's more than just salvation. Yes, we can thank God that we're saved, and we can thank God that we're going to heaven. But he said there's more than that. There's more to it. Yes, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. But hey, the reason why is because I want to use you for the cause of Jesus Christ. I want you to be productive, and I want you to be reaching other people with the gospel. I want you to be doing more so that more can come into the fold, so that more can come through the door and know Christ as their Savior. But instead, we just content to stay in the fold. We don't want to go out there, Lord. You know, there's some, I'm not sure where you're going to lead us out there. We're just going to stay right here. and we lose that protection. We lose the provision. And we see so many Christians just struggling in their Christian life because they will not follow the shepherd. They just want to stay in the fold. He says, I'm the door. I offer you salvation. I offer you protection. I offer you provision. But I also offer you production. A way that you can be used for the cause of Jesus Christ. Not just sitting, doing nothing, but being used for Christ's purpose so that others can know Christ as their Savior, so that others can be brought into that fold. And you're going to see a little bit later, he says a little bit later in the chapter, there are others that are not of this fold. He said, there are others that are out there. They're not of this fold. There's Jews and Gentiles. There's bond and there's free. There's male, there's female. There's all kinds of people that are coming into the fold of Jesus Christ, but they're only coming one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we're coming for a purpose, not just to be able to say, I'm going to heaven, although praise God we can say that. Why did Jesus say this man was born blind? Remember? For the glory of God, that the work of God might be manifest in his life. Christian, do you know what God wants to do in your life? He wants the work of God to be manifest in your life. Oh, you may not be born blind like this man was. You may not have a physical disability like this man was, but no matter who you are, no matter what you are, God says the reason that he has saved you is because he wants the work of God to be manifest in each of our lives so that others can be able to see. Look, they could have just passed on that day, and all that could have transpired would have never happened if Jesus hadn't said, hey, there's a man here that he's not blind because of his sin. He's not blind because of his parents' sin. He's blind so that the work of God can be manifest and so that all around can know who Jesus is. Who is he? He's the door. And by him, by me, he says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the door? It's not a church. It's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's not a work, a baptism, or keeping the Ten Commandments. Oh, no, friend, those are not the door. It's Jesus. And he offers for you to come. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he offers you to come through the door of Jesus Christ. And once you're in, we can have rest and peace in knowing that God is in control. Jesus Christ has saved me. We don't have to worry about sin and death and hell anymore. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. But there is a purpose for our life. The work of God might be manifested. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, no one looking about. If you're here this morning, if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, friend, Jesus is the door. And there is no other door than Jesus. You say, well, what about my baptism? What about this church? Or what about, no, friend. Jesus said, I am the door. Nothing else. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I died. I don't know where I would go. And that concerns me. I'm truly concerned about that. I don't know where I would go. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I died where I would go. And that does concern me. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Pastor, pray for me. Anyone this morning? Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm concerned about that. And Christian, can I ask you, if we're in the fold and if we've come to Christ through the door, come through Christ, and he offers that provision, he offers that protection, are we following him? Or have we just decided to stay inside the fold that is there? Are we being productive for him? Or have we just said, hey, this is my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. Don't ask of what is mine, even though really it belongs to the Lord. Or are we saying, Lord, here is my life, whatever you need. You want the wool? Here's the wool. You want the milk? Here's the milk. You want the fat? Here's the fat. Lord, whatever it is, it's yours. You use it to further the cause of Jesus Christ. Are we being productive? Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to realize just as that blind man was allowed to be born blind, not because of sin, but Lord, for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, that the work of God might be manifest and seen in his life. Lord, each one of us have a purpose. You have a purpose for our lives. And that purpose is that the work of God would be manifested in our life. Lord, if we know Christ as our Savior, we've believed, then, Lord, we have a purpose. And that is to be productive. That is to let you use us for your cause, for your glory. Lord, everything we have belongs to you. May we willingly and yield it to you and say, Lord, whatever you need, whatever you want, it's yours. Lord, you want me to teach a Sunday school class? You want me to work in super church? Lord, you want me to go out and invite someone to church? You want me to be a better testimony at work? Lord, how can the work of God be manifested in my life? Lord, I pray you'd help us, that each of us would yield to you, that your work would be seen through us. In Jesus' name we pray. We'll just stand to our feet quietly this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.